You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Pastor Steve Tolbert. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
Amen. Lord God, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for everything that you're going to speak to us. Lord, we bind up every hindering and distracting spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that your word will go forth in authority and in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today, you may be seated. Today we're going to talk about breaking demonic cycles, because there's a lot of times where we're seeing things pop up, you know, whether in our lives or in the lives of people that we know. And so we need to know how to actually help them break those cycles, how to recognize them and then break them and then stay broken. Because there are times where people struggle with the same sins, recurring sins, addictions, difficulties, hopelessness, different emotions that are negative. They trapped in a never-ending cycle, even relationships, you know. And so we're going to first look at Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. And it says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens." And so a lot of times when it comes to the spiritual realm and thinking about the demonic, and so here's the thing. So a lot of people, when it comes to talking about spiritual warfare and stuff like that, you know, people like, well, I don't need to cast out no demon. I ain't no preacher or nothing. But Jesus said that these signs would follow those that believe. And then he tells us what we could do in his name, what we're deputized to do. That's what it means when he says in his name, we're deputized to do these things. And so what we need to do is we need to recognize, because for me to not tell you about the demonic realm, about the spiritual realm, the things that affect you that you don't see, right? Even as far as different things in our political climate or in our social climate, that we think that the problem is a person, but it's not the person. The person is just the tool being used to execute demonic initiatives in the earth. The spirit behind that person is who's really pulling the strings, right? Like, even when you think about, and so you think about the cycles, right? You think about when I say breaking demonic cycles. And so some people may think generational curses, but here's the thing. There are such things as hereditary spirits or hereditary spiritual oppression. And here's why I say that. Think about your doctor, right? You go to the doctor and the doctor asks what is your family's medical history? Why do they want to know what is your family's medical history? Because that will show your genetic predisposition to actually experience that same ailment. And they've even found out with substance abuse. There was a National Institute of Health study that was done last March, and they revealed that there are certain genetic markers that actually cause people to be more predisposed to certain substances or certain addictions than others. So that tells you that there are certain things in our bloodlines that need to be broken. You think about certain relatives that you had, and if you go down your family history, right? Like, especially if you hear stories from your grandma, your great grandma, whoever else, they know the history of the family. And so they tell you, oh yeah, such struggled with this. They died because they were an alcoholic and this and this. And then all of a sudden, it may not even get to you, but it may skip a generation and then show up. And you're wondering, where did this come from? It was a seed planted in your generations that nobody ever broke. And so scripture in Ephesians 6 tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. And so the other concept is heaven. You hear the word heaven and you automatically think God. No, but there is the atmosphere. That's our air that we're breathing. There's the stellar, that's the stars and the planets out there. And then there's the third heaven or the celestial where spiritual beings live. All right. And so that's what it says when it's saying in the heavens. And so there are all these different things. And it's very structured. That's why it talks about the different levels of evil spiritual authority. It's not just the devil and his demons, but there's a hierarchy in the demon realm. And so it's telling you sometimes you think, because if you think about Daniel, when Daniel fasted and then, you know, the angel came, and what did the angel say? The prince of Persia and the prince of Greece. So there was a principality over that region. That principality didn't want the will of God to come forth. So that principality, the prince of Persia and the prince of Grecia, because they know they're not strong enough by themselves. And so they get some help and they team up again. That's why even in the body of Christ, we need to function more in unity. Because the demonic, they know unity, their strength. But the Christians, we have a problem because we think about, all right, well, I don't believe you need to butter your bread from the left to right. You need to butter your bread from the right to the left. It don't matter how you butter your bread as long as it get buttered. You know? And so we need to understand that in the spiritual realm, it is very organized. It is very structured. And see, it has to be that way in order to enact the plan against you. Because John 10:10 says what? The devil comes what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so the devil doesn't want you to reach your God-given destiny. The devil wants you to be stopped before you get there. Why do you think abortions have increased within the last 50 years? It's because the devil knows that there are some deliverers, there are some anointed people in these bloodlines that need to come forth, and so let me stop them. So first, let me saddle their parents with shame. Let me saddle their parents with the spirit of shame, so then they have to figure out, how do I get rid of this shame? Well, they say, oh, just get rid of it. And so what you have the spiritual, which is causing so many effects, so many ripples in the lives of people that they don't see. And they think, well, it's just, they just made a decision. But what was the influence behind your decision? And so you think about that, and you think about the fact that in order to live free, you got to first realize what is the stronghold. When we look at Corinthians, and we see there's certain things here that God wants us to understand. And 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." And so the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. And that's why, again, I say, sometimes we're so busy dealing with the person instead of the spirit behind the person. When he said, "In my name, you'll cast out devils," he meant that if you came against a person that was demonically possessed, all right, and you know when they're demonically possessed, you know, You don't even have to have level 10 discernment. You already know when a person is demonically possessed. You ever been at work and then somebody come in and you be like, man, every time they come in, it's just like a heaviness just come with them. It's just like nobody's happy when they come in because everybody dreads it. That's the spirit that they're bringing along with them. You recognize it. And so he says, now you need to take action in the spirit where the spirit is, and you need to tell that spirit you are no longer welcome here. So in our lives, we need to recognize when the devil is trying to perpetrate his initiatives and his plans against us, and we need to tell him, you're no longer welcome here. We need to say, I see you. All right? See, we say, I see you, and now that I see you, now in the authority of the name of Jesus, I command you to leave this place, to go to the dry places. You need to sin. And see, that's the thing. As the days continue to grow, demonic activity will continue to increase. And so if demonic activity is continuing to increase, then the people of God need to realize the authority that they have, and they need to act in that authority, because the devil is not going to just leave you alone. I remember there was a couple of weeks ago, you know, some stuff was popping off, and I said, and you know, we were getting ready for the prayer summit and stuff, and I said to my wife, I said, I'm like, come on, devil, what did I do to you? But see, you don't have to do nothing. It's the simple fact that inside of you, there is a treasure in the earthen vessel, and that when the excellency, when it's manifested, when it's realized, then the excellency of the power, it's shown that God gets the glory. I just get the story. And see, the devil don't want you to have those stories of God's glory. He don't want you to have it. And so he throws distractions in your way to prevent you from reaching the place that God wants you to get to. Why do you think that you get most frustrated on Sunday morning? It seemed like Saturday, everything's fine. But then Sunday comes and all of a sudden your car don't want to start. You can't find your keys. You can't do, like, come on. And so you got to realize that is the devil trying to distract you and prevent you from getting to this place to corporate worship. And so we need to realize his strategies. We need to recognize. And so first thing first is understanding that there is the reality of demonic cycles. You think about certain relationships that you've been in. And you know, they say you have a type, right? Like some girls, I mean, when you're a teenager, I remember when I was a teenager, it seemed like all the girls wanted the bad boys. They had a type. Right? And then all the guys wanted the girls that were no good for them and that would just use them. They had a type. And so you need to understand that there is always a motivation behind the decisions you choose to make. You think about the fact that they have, what did it say, when they see certain, strippers and stuff like that, they say they got daddy issues. Then serial killers, they say they got mommy issues. I mean, you think about that, right? And that really tells you the demonic is real. You look at even, I was watching a reel where this writer of a show, a popular show, actually admitted that in the show, the incantations and spells that the actors were doing were actually real. And they knew it because real witches said, hey, stop doing those things. You don't understand the forces you're messing with. And they thought, oh, this is not real. No, they said, no, it's real. And so we need to understand that. I remember there was a very popular game back in the day. This is way predating video games. And I remember that with this game, people would sit around in a circle And they would want to contact the other side. And I remember hearing stories of people that were playing this game, and without anybody moving, things started moving around them. I remember hearing stories about people buying furniture at garage sales. And my dad tells a story about the person sleep on a couch and got thrown off the couch by a demon. But you say, well, it's just Afrocentric. It's just this. I like the way it looks. It's really Zen. It's all it is. But what spirits are you inviting in your house? And there are certain things that are tied to these demons that they want to just do whatever. Like they're like those fertility statues and stuff. A lot of, in our modern day, within the last couple of years, a lot of African-American young ladies have been getting into all of this witchy woohoo stuff, right? You burn your sage and all that stuff. Come on now. Christians ain't got no business burning sage to clear nothing. All sage is going to do is bring it to you. It's like a beacon saying, I'm over here. Come here. I'm over here. And so as followers of Christ, we must acknowledge the reality of demonic cycles in our lives. These patterns of sin and bondage that keep us trapped and separated from God. They may manifest in various forms such as addictions, toxic relationships, or destructive behaviors. I had a very interesting destructive behavior where I drank energy drinks. And so you like the way it feels, right? But what is it doing to you behind the scenes? It's breaking down your body. And I remember one particular time, as I'm drinking these energy drinks, I got sick. Not from the energy drink, but just got sick, got a cold or flu or something. And I remember what came out. I said, I'm going to stop this now. Because it's doing something, right? But see, I liked the way it made me feel, especially if I didn't want to deal with my day. Somehow the energy drinks, they say like once it gives you wings, you know, makes you feel like, I mean, it does do something. It makes you, and so you do it because of the feeling that it gives you, the release that it gives you just to drink it. That's why a lot of people overindulge in alcohol is because it's what it does to you. Why do you think they call it wine and spirits? Because you like what it makes you feel. It's the party drink, right? It makes the party more fun. No, it doesn't. Especially if you wake up the next day and you have a headache. Because all it's doing is it's draining. Alcohol actually drains water from your body. That's where hangovers come from. It's a loss of water. We got to understand what things are doing to us. Our body is, what is it, 2/3 water? And so if something's taking what I need out of me, I need to reconsider my choices. If something that I'm drinking is going to put me in a place of mind where I'm going to make decisions that in a sober mind I would not make because I have my wits about me, I need to reconsider my choices. I remember, and see, you gotta be realistic with people, right? So I remember, this was about 15 years, almost 20 years ago. I remember I was, you know, people wanted to take you out. I was living down in Texas, and people wanted to have a going away party, and down there, you know, they drunk. And so I had not been brought up that way. And so, I mean, the little bit I had tried, I always, you know, like, so I was like, oh, no. But this particular night, you know, they're like, maybe you just didn't have nothing eating you. So they gave me your food and stuff like that. And then you gave you a little sip here, gave you a little sip there. Next thing you know, I took one whole bottle of rum down to halfway. And I'm just like feeling good. And so me and Melissa had actually just started talking a few months before that. And I remember I'm driving on my way home and I call Melissa up. I'm like out of my mind. I don't even remember what I said. All I know is she said to me, don't ever do that again. It was too early in the relationship to do all of that. Right? Like, it was what, like 2 months? Like, but I'm just being transparent with you on the fact that when I talk about certain things, it's not because I'm just a PK. We just so good. Come on now. The worst ones are PKs. And so take a moment to reflect on your life. Are there any patterns of sin or struggles that you have been dealing with for a long time? It could be anger, jealousy, or lust. Recognizing these cycles is the first step towards breaking them. And I go back to the whole alcohol thing. Now, I heard stories of one of my grandparents and how they would just get overly sauced. You know, my grandma said before they got saved, that's what they did. And so that tells me that if I'm not careful, it is possible for alcoholism to become a stronghold over my life. Why? Because it's in the generations. It's in the generations. And so with my branch of the tree, I need to break any generational rot that tries to infect my generation and further, and I need to say the buck stops here. So you recognize, and that's why you need to realize there are effects of your actions. Second thing is breaking free from demonic cycles requires a spiritual battle. As Ephesians 6:12 tells us, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. We must put on the full armor of God, that's Ephesians 6:10-18, and fight against these forces with the weapons of prayer, fasting, and the word of God. And so it's time for us to take a stand and fight against these cycles. Realizing that we don't have to be like our grandparents and like our uncles and aunts and all. We don't have to follow those examples and live those lives. We have a choice. We gotta make that commitment to pray fervently, to fast, to meditate on God's word daily, to seek accountability, especially if you know you're not strong enough. You need to seek some godly accountability to help you and support you as you wage the spiritual battle. So if you have a habit of going into toxic relationships, and see, here's the thing, the person may look different from the start. They don't look like the other person because you already saw the full-blown manifestation of what's in the other person. So this person, they look good. They do the right things. They say the right things. They seem pretty sane. Then all of a sudden, what happens? The toxic cycle begins to show itself. It shows itself a little bit at a time because they don't want to scare you away. So they give you a little bit at a time. And then you say, well, it was just one time. Then the second time. It was just the second time. Then the third time. I can forgive them for that. But think about the effect that it's having on your life. Is it causing you spiritually to become stunted? Because that's what demonic cycles do. Demonic cycles actually they stop your spiritual growth. They stop your spiritual growth. I remember a particular time in which I was just avoiding my spiritual life because being spiritually aware would make me feel the guilt of what I was doing. So let me silence the voice of God by staying away from him. Let me not open up the word, because I know if I open up the word, he's going to say something to me. I'm going to hear him again. I'm going to feel guilty again, and I'm going to have to repent again. But that's what those cycles do. It keeps you in that hamster wheel, and you're not going nowhere. You're not growing. You're not developing even in your life outside. You're not doing it. You're just stuck. That's what the cycle just wants to keep you going around in a circle. Just going around in a circle. You're not going anywhere. It seems like you're going somewhere because you're moving, but if you look at it, you're in the same place. And so we need to realize that. And then we need to get the people around us to hold us accountable and support us, the spiritual believers, not just your girlfriends, your best boy, no. But you need to get people that are going in the same direction. See, you're not going to be able, even if today, right, God shows you what you need to do, you break the cycle. If you don't stay around the right people, then you'll find yourself going right back in that cycle. Why? Because some of the people that are out there that are not believers are going in their own cycles, and they don't want to see you free, because then they'll feel like they left behind. So let me throw some weight on you. The good news is, through Jesus Christ, we have already been given victory over these demonic cycles. And 1 John 4, verse 4 tells us, you are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And so as believers, we must claim this victory and walk in it daily. Whenever you feel tempted or trapped in a cycle, remind yourself of the truth that you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Cling on to this promise and stand firm in the faith. And so when you think about this, again, you need to recognize the enemy. You need to use your spiritual weapons. You need to submit to God and resist the devil. And then you need to engage in fasting and prayer. And I'm reminded of Matthew 17, how in verse 14 to 21, how it says this: when they approached the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, kneeling before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, moonstruck, and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to heal him. And Jesus answered, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked, why could we not drive it out? He answered, because of your little faith, your lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. For I assure you and most solemnly say to you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, and you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And so prayer and fasting assist in strengthening our faith and drawing us closer to God and allowing us to align our will with his and see his power at work. You think about the fact that fasting means to, in the Hebrew, it means to close your mouth and to keep food from getting in, right? And you think about the correlation between Jesus saying that the demon doesn't come out but by prayer and fasting, and the reaction that people have when they feel depressed. What do? They stress eat. So you're stress eating, and you're not weakening the effect of the depression or the effect of the anxiety or whatever that negative emotion is that has you in a hole. You're strengthening it right? But see, when I fast, I weaken all demonic hold over my life. And I draw closer to God. I give God my full attention. You know, Isaiah 58 tells us that when we fast the right way, right, we are giving God our full attention. We're saying, God, I don't want the flesh to win. I want you to win in my life. And that is why we need to, again, we need to begin to pray and fast like never before. Because as I stated earlier, that as the days continue to go on, the demonic will begin to increase their influence. And so that means that the kingdom needs to attack with force. And so always keep Galatians 5:1 in mind, where it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So once you get that demonic cycle broken, you know your triggers. You know the red flags. Do not again submit again to that yoke of slavery. See, the devil wants you to be ignorant of the devil's devices. That's why he comes different ways at different times. He doesn't always come the same way. He comes different ways. And so you need to recognize his devices. That's why it's important for you to pray, to fast, to be in the word, to study the word, and so that your discernment can be sharp. It's all right right now, but it can be sharp. That way you can see him afar off and recognize him and you tell him, nah, you're not welcome here. That's why Jesus said, when a strong man is cast out, what you need to do is you need to change locks. Throw out his stuff. Let him know he's not welcome here anymore. Because if you leave his property there, if you leave a sign that he's welcome, then he will visit you again and come in and run your life into the ground. So he says that the strong man, once he's out, because he will get out. We've all experienced those moments of victory, of freedom, of where I feel like I can finally breathe. I feel like I'm so much lighter. But then what happens? Then something happens to where you get back again into that bondage, and then that weight back on, and then you start to think, well, maybe this is the way I'm supposed to live. That's the devil trying to deceive you. Into thinking that you're not supposed to be free. But Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free." He has set us free. He didn't accidentally do it. He meant to make us free. And so he says, make him appreciate the fact, or show him that you appreciate the fact that he set you free. Then I do not enter again into that yoke of bondage. And so, as I close, I'm gonna pray this prayer, and I'm gonna send out a copy of it so that you have it. But say, Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, fully aware of the power and authority I have through you. I thank you for your love and grace, which are greater than any bondage in my life. Lord, I acknowledge the repetitive patterns that have held me captive, the addictions, recurring sins, harmful relationships, and negative thoughts. I recognize these as strongholds that hinder my spiritual growth. I seek your wisdom and understanding regarding the origins of these cycles. Reveal to me any lies I have believed and any wounds that need healing. Help me to understand how these strongholds operate in my life. In the name of Jesus, I renounce every stronghold that has taken root in my life. I break the cycles of addiction, sin, and harmful relationships. I declare that I am no longer a slave to these patterns, but a new creation in Christ. I claim the freedom that Christ has purchased for me. I ask for your deliverance from every negative thought that opposes your truth. I choose to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. renew my mind and help me to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Guide me in making choices that lead to life and growth. I pray for deliverance from any generational patterns that may have influenced my life. I break any curses or negative influence passed down from my ancestors and declare that they have no power over me. Help me to establish new patterns of behavior rooted in truth and love. Lead me to relationships that encourage my spiritual growth and support my journey towards you. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you are doing in my life. I trust in your power to break these cycles and lead me into abundant life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. So after hearing this message, maybe you want to get all in with Jesus today. Maybe you recognize that you've been walking the line, walking the fence, trying to straddle the fence, and realize that you got to be all in, because that's the only way you'll experience the abundant life. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to come forward and to just get prayer. And I'll touch and agree with you that God would do a work in your life and he would complete that work in your life. But then you have to commit to not mess it up. How do you mess it up? By taking yourself off the potter's wheel. In Jeremiah 18, we see the story of the potter, how the potter had to make the clay over again when there was a mark in it. And so many of us, we have been on that potter's wheel. I've been on a potter's wheel. And God is making, he's making, it's a process that we have to commit to. And so I want to encourage you today to come forward so I can touch and agree with you. Amen.
Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text GIVE to 1-844-948-3895. Cash App $YesLordM. On Givelify, search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083. Download the YLM mobile app and stay connected with our ministry 24/7. On behalf of our lead pastor Steve Tolbert, our senior leaders Apostle Willie Tolbert and Apostle Mamie S. Tolbert, and the Yes Lord Ministries church family, thank you for joining us and welcome home.